The early hours of this morning. Well, David Jones is the Conservative MP for Clwyd West and a former Brexit minister and joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
And there'll be relief for the government, but misgivings on both sides about the amount of power now being given to ministers. So what safeguards are there in place to reassure those who are concerned, which of course include members of your own party?
Well, yes, that's right. And of course, we've got 8 days of debate in committee coming up. And I anticipate that during that time, we'll see an awful lot of amendments to the bill put down. And the government actually acknowledged yesterday that the bill was possibly capable of improvement. David Lidington said that in his wind-up. So I anticipate that there will be some amendments that the government will probably accept as the bill proceeds.
Because the danger here is that parliamentary scrutiny is will be bypassed in the rush to get the job done, because that's what it feels like, isn't it? It feels like this bill isn't complete, and further amendments would suggest just that.
I don't think there's any question at all of parliamentary scrutiny being bypassed. I think that the question is, and this was a question that was raised on both sides of the debate, including by myself, is that we should have the right level of parliamentary scrutiny for each particular amendment that will have to be taken forward to the current EU legislation. The fact is that we've got about 20,000 individual pieces of EU law that are now embedded in British law and have to be changed to fully British law at the time of our withdrawal. And to do that in the time that we've got available to us, clearly we will have to use secondary legislation. Some of those elements won't require much scrutiny, probably very little at all. Some will, and I think that that is the issue, to ensure that the right level of scrutiny is applied to each particular amendment.
But there are misgivings and attacks even from all sides here. So from within the Conservative Party, from the opposition in the Commons, from the devolved governments, from the EU itself. And on that issue of devolved powers, we spoke to Stephen Kinnock on the programme earlier, who talked about presumed competence. So if a power in a devolved area, the power should come to Cardiff and not go to Westminster.
Well, I think, frankly, that's a rather a simplistic way of looking at it, because at the moment you've got competences that are at an EU level. The issue that we've got to decide is whether they should, once they become part of British law, be exercised at a British level, a UK level, or at the devolved level. And I think that it's rather simplistic to suggest that we should just have a straightforward devolution of all those competences to the devolved assembly.
There's no clarity being offered from the government on this, is there? And if in an area of policy, so if we take something like agriculture, which has always been a devolved area, why would it then? It's going to be confusing, isn't it? To not
the farming unions, including the Welsh farming unions, actually do recognise that we do need a UK-wide framework for agricultural policy once we've left the European Union. Otherwise, what you'd get is, in agricultural terms, a race to the bottom amongst the various devolved areas of the country. So I think that there's a good argument for saying that some powers should reside at a UK level so that they can be properly exercised. Others will pass down to the devolved assemblies and parliaments. And I think that what we need to do is to ensure that the UK government works with the devolved administrations to come up at the right level for each particular power.
The perception here, well, I mean, we know that the bill, you've mentioned yourself, it is hugely complex in terms of the number of regulations, and the progress, no doubt, will be far from smooth. But it does appear to be chaotic, because we're already talking about amendments to this bill. Last week, we had no concrete detail on immigration plans by the UK government. It does seem that the government is short on ideas about how to handle Brexit.
Well, I think actually that that's entirely wrong. In fact, what would have been chaotic would have been if the Labour Party's amendment yesterday had succeeded and we'd ended up with no framework in place for transferring EU law to British law at the time of our withdrawal. I think really that the time for this sort of partisan sniping over this is gone. I think that all members of Parliament have now got a duty to ensure that the bill gets through, that it's amended as necessary, but that it does get through, and that then there's a serious consideration of all the transfers of powers that will be coming from Europe to the United States. United Kingdom to make sure that when they have been completed, they're coherent and they make sure that we have a good understandable statute book.
Because the problem is that the EU is capitalising on this perceived chaos, for want of another word. And Michel Barnier has said last week there was no decisive progress after the third round of Brexit talks. David Davis said Michel Barnier was silly to suggest this. But again, this sense of a playground spat evolving here.
Well, I think that what Michel Barnier merely meant was that he wanted more money, and that's what essentially the argument is resolving itself to. I think that the truth is that there will be little real progress until such time as the Germans have completed their elections and Angela Merkel probably has been returned as Chancellor. And I think that then we will see some progress. But for Michel Barnier to suggest that is really a cover for saying that he wants more money.
Thank you very much for joining us on the programme this morning. That's David Jones, the MP for Clwyd West and the former Brexit minister.
13 minutes past eight the time. Let's go back out to Florida, where more than 6 million homes have been left without power in the wake of Hurricane Irma. The islands of the Florida Keys, south of the US mainland, have been the hardest hit, with some now warning of a humanitarian crisis there. Irma, which hit Florida as a Category 4 hurricane on Sunday, has now been downgraded to a tropical storm. It cut a devastating track before it hit Florida across the Caribbean islands, killing at least 37 people. 6 million people from Florida were told to evacuate before Irma arrived. Among them was Welshman James Connors, who lives now in Fort Lauderdale, just outside Miami. He fled north over the state border into Georgia to try and escape the hurricane. He spoke to me from Georgia just before we came on air and described what it was like there.